Amen. That is one of my favorite songs. Thank you, Brother Scott. God's at work. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 16. And I want to thank the pastor for letting me come. This is kind of my home away from home. Brother Pittman, I was in your house that you just sold, I think. And I was in the one before that and the one before that. This next one, does it come with a butler? That's what I'm wanting. Last time he had that house, he had that big long Christmas tree in there. Good night. I couldn't see the top of that thing. But it was a blessing. It's a blessing to be over here. And the young man I'm staying with, is he in here? Wave your hand. What's your name?
Andrew.
Stand up, Andrew. Now, ladies, this guy keeps a good house. Why'd you sit down for? I'm just winding up, man. So you girls that's unattached between the age of 18 and 60, see me down here. I honestly did this once and a 55-year-old lady showed up one time. You never know what would happen, you know. Didn't mean to embarrass you. You'll get over it. You get a wife out of this, you'll thank me later. You heard about the preachers raising money for missions. He said, whoever gives a $1,000 check, I'll let them pick out any hymn they want. You know the saying. So there's a lady sitting in the back, and she wrote three $1,000 checks out. And the usher took it up her and said, preacher, look here. And he said, yes. He said, ma'am, you pick out any hymn you want. And she stood up and said, I want him and him and him. I'm just trying to help you out, amen. Okay. I don't plan these things. They just come out, but he's taking great care of me. So he's the real deal. I expect my lunch ready when I get home, okay? No, he's been taking good care of me. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 16. You should be there already. This is Missions If It's a Sunday. And I want to encourage you a little bit and let you know that God is at work. Amen. He's still at work in this country. Amen. And he's given us an opportunity. He's opened a door that some people don't understand. They're still in shock. Amen. And I pray we as independent Bible-believing Christians to love the Lord above more than anything else understand he's kept that door open for us. So we need to keep this emphasis on missions and everything. So I want to thank the pastor and everyone here in the church for letting me come. I'll tell JB you're doing a good job, okay? His daddy is one of my bosses. He's one of my bosses. So I got to keep everybody in rank. I won't say a thing about those three pieces of cake on your... Yeah, right. All right, here we go. Mark chapter 16, as you sit there, though, let me remind you of something I think it's very important. The Bible says it makes this statement that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's not where you're at. That's John 3. Now I want you to take a look with me in Mark chapter 16. Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. Now I entitled this message, Why the World? This statement, I want you to understand, God never reveals the need to a church unless he has a supply and reserve ready to roll. Nowhere in Scripture will you ever find Christ or God, the Holy Spirit, ever working on anyone's heart to help the ministry, a church planning, to give to Elijah, to Elisha, to give to Paul, to Peter, all through Scripture, to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. God never asked anybody to do anything unless they already had it. Let's just bring it right down to where we all understand it. Why the world? Over 7 billion people in this world, over 300 million in the United States of America alone, over 5,000 unreached groups around the world. The majority of the people don't have an opportunity to hear the gospel, let alone know what it basically is. But Jesus said, the world. Now I want to answer that question for you today. Why? Why? The Bible says here in Mark chapter 16, look at verse 15. Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, talking to his disciples. Go ye into all the world and preach it, the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now watch this. The Lord working with them. He's always with us. God is talking about a world. God is talking about what moves the missionary, what moves the pastor, what moves you. What does this look like? This basic question, why the world? Number one, I believe it's this. There's a command to go. Now, how many of you kids in here? I see all these teenagers. How many's ever had your mom and dad give you a command? All right? And how many of you obeyed that command immediately? Just two of us, okay? How many drug your feet? Now, boys, it's one thing to mow the yard. It's another thing to do the dishes. It's one thing to wash the car if I'm going to drive it. It's another thing to make my bed if I'm going to sleep in it. But your mom and dad will tell you to do these things. Now, I know, kids, you've got to figure it out. You know more than they do, but they're paying the bill, so you got to comply. I got 40-year-old sons still trying to comply. And my thing is, when they look at me, my 40-year-old son to my 17-year-old daughter, when I say, this is what I want you to do, and they'll say, well, can I do it this way? When they see this, that's it. Now, my wife, I love her, and she loves me, and we get along, everything's fine, but she'll want to do this, and she'll want to do this, and she'll want to do this. She said, honey, what do you think? And I don't say a word. She can read my body language. Now, to keep a hassle out of my castle, you know, here's a credit card. You got $10 today, that's it. Susie's feeling so much better, she went shopping. David's holding on to his wallet. But anyway, here's my point, commands. How many ever had somebody give you a command you did not like them? Like an older sister, an older brother? You know, that fourth grade teacher, big as Delaware, she always was in your wheelhouse. They're hard to obey, are they not? How many's been there with me? But if you really like somebody, if you really love somebody, when they ask you or tell you to do something, it's that easy. Amen? It's that easy. And Jesus said, here, I'm commanding you. He didn't ask them. He's very personal in this. And he said, listen, I want you to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And in the Great Commission, it says, go ye therefore to all the world and preach and teach the gospel, baptizing them. Wherever you're going to go, I'm going to be with you. It's a command. What's it say there in chapter 16, verse 15 of Mark? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, do it. Now, I've got a sister named Becky. Pray for her. Her husband's the one's in the hospital. Becky's always been a thorn in my flesh. And, you know, she's always smarter than me, and she's a couple years older than me, and she's always bossing me around. And we had the girls' room and the boys. I'm a twin, so our twins were here, and the sisters were across the hallway there in this old farmhouse, you know. And we would do same things sometime to mess our sister's room up, but Becky would never stop. And she just keep messing it up. And one day, my twin brother and I put a sign up on our door, no girls allowed, A-L-O-U-D. We're like third or fourth graders, still can't spell. But, by the way, if you know, that's the wrong allowed, okay? And underneath, I scribbled, Becky, this means you. Jesus makes it very clear, if you know him as your personal Savior, he has saved you. You're one of his, or you're part of his family. This means you. Ouch, that hurt. I didn't come for that. Now, listen, I'm not hurting your feelings. Let's just be honest here. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you go, Jeremy's in Uganda. I was just got back from Australia. My jet lag's about half over. I'm going back in another month. Going back in January, maybe staying over there more next year than here with everything that's going on. But I'll tell you what, sin is the same all around the world. People are the same all around, different color of skin, different accents. Okay, let me tell you something. But the gospel is the only thing that's to go out to all the world. All God's people said. If you don't know your Bible, when it's all done and finished, and when this earth is no more, the new heavens is coming, amen. The only thing to last is God's word. That's it. And where does that stay? On some computer, downtown D.C., New York, Dallas? No, it stays in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Greater is he that in you than he that is in the world. Folks, I want to tell you something. He's given us a command to do it. First time I went soul winning with Tony Miller, a pastor. He's retiring now. Brother Pittman, you know Tony. You know, he's bald-headed as we are, but Tony took me soul winning for the first time. He said, Brother Dan, you come with me. And he was my dorm man. He was big and older and smarter, and I'm just a little dumb hillbilly. And we're walking down the street, Brevard, North Carolina. And there's a guy coming out with an 8-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's beer, by the way. And I give him my first track I ever handed out in my life. He looked at me, stood on the ground. I grabbed, whoa, 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 I grabbed him. I'd never been taught the art in soul winning. What are you doing? Don't you, you little drunk. I give this to you. Keep it. Tony says, you don't do it. I'm doing this now. Hey, you read this, man. Tony Miller will tell you. No, 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 Dan. And I was ready to fight the guy. You knew I wasn't real couth back in those days. Preacher said, go soul winning. I thought everybody just swallow it. Amen. Amen. How many's ever been soul winning in here? Had the door slammed on you, amen. How many's had stone? How many's had your tires flattened? They do these things in New Guinea, they don't want you around. But I'm telling you what, that doesn't mean I stop. When he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he's talking about all of us. Becky, that means you. Dan, that means you. And Tony, I wasn't real smooth back there in Brevard, North Carolina. And I've learned some things along the way. By the way, that little drunk did keep that thing. He went down the street. I don't know if he got saved or not. Barry Goodman was with us on this. My point is this, we're commanded to go. Hey, when you have an opportunity to witness to Christ, it's for Christ, it's bigger than you. And he puts this on our hearts. And there's no secret interpretations. There's no Christianese language. Jesus lays it out there. Hey, you're supposed to go and be ye witnesses. Number one, there's a command. Number two, I want you to see this. The second thought is this, because there's consequences. Consequences. There's a command to go, and Jesus wants us to go to the world because there's consequences. You know, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I give you this thought this morning? He wants us to go to all nations. He wants us to be a witness for him. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach that gospel to every creature. There are consequences. This morning, there's a 7.6 magnitude tsunami earthquake in New Zealand. When I was there a few years ago, they had a bad one. It about knocked all of Christchurch down. And I had another bad one this morning. And y'all remember the tsunami that hit, or the earthquake that hit Haiti a few years ago. In a two-hour period, it said that 200,000 people died within a two-hour period in 2011. And the tsunami took place in Indonesia in 2006. Those people, everyone within a half mile of that beach along that shoreline, 246,000 people died in less than 1 minute. And we think we're in charge. We think we have time. In Tennessee, I drive up and through there, and you'll see it on your signs coming up and down the interstate. Last year to this date, 278 people was killed on the highways in Tennessee. Now, those signs get me driving a little straighter every time I see one of them, okay? You start counting the cars, you're one of those people. Can I encourage you this morning, the consequences of sin, can you see it's all about choice. Y'all make choices, amen? And to our consequences, there's always consequences to choice. And I want you to know there's also consequences for sin. Let me talk to you about this choice for a moment. He said, now listen, I'm commanding you to go. Why? Because I give you a choice. Adam and Eve sent us all to hell, and it's all a free choice after that to accept him as your personal Savior or not. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of who? There is none righteous, not. So, how are we going to get saved? Trust Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. God says, I did not send him to the world, condemn the world, but to seek and save that which was lost because of your consequences. What are you talking about, preacher? Good question. Let me answer it for you. So would you just keep your hand there in your Bible and turn a little to 1 John chapter 5. I want you to see this with me. 1 John chapter 5. Our consequences of choice. Boy, I bet old Lot's wife wished he hadn't turned around. Uh-huh. I bet old Samson wished he hadn't been on Delilah's head, sitting on her lap that night. Choices. I bet if David had the choice not to look at Bathsheba taking that shower, that bath, I bet they'd all want another chance. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He but believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. If you're in here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's consequences. If you're in here with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's consequences. I'm telling you, it's a choice. Amen. I got to vote last week. I was so excited. My wife, I was in Australia when she voted. She said she had to wait 2 hours. We was voting at a Seventh-day Adventist church, but that's okay. So I went there and I got there at 6 a.m. I thought the polls opened up at 6:30. They didn't open up to 8. But I made a decision. My vote was going to count. I'm going to be the first one in there. So I got in there, and the guy running the election thing thought I was part of the election thing. Thought I was one of the officers. And he had me setting up, you know, and putting out cupcakes and donuts, you know. I'm drinking coffee. He said, "By the way, what's your name?" Dan DeLong. "Where's your tag?" I said, "Well, what's a tag? I'm just here to vote." "Oh, get out of here." So I went over here and stood. And I said, "Do I have to go out?" I'm like, "No, you just stay right there, man. You're cool. No worries. Just don't say anything to anybody." 90-year-old lady come in to count ballots. You know, she had a Hillary button on. "You got to take that off." And she did. She went in there. And in 2 minutes, she had a heart attack. And I'm the only guy with a phone. Call 911. All right. Now, the line outside was about 150 yards long. They said, "We need help." I walked outside. "Hey, listen, is there a doctor here or a nurse? We got a lady having a heart attack." A doctor and two nurses came out. "See? Come on, come in here and get her. We need her." And everybody thought I was in charge. No, I'm just nobody over here. But there's a consequence going on. This lady's dying. They got her to the hospital. She survived. I just want you to know that we make choices. And I made a choice to go there on Tuesday. Amen. I made a choice to vote. Amen. So did you. Now, you make a choice today. If you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, nope. You ought to make a choice to trust Him as your personal Savior. Because Jesus, the bottom line for all of us, wants us to go. This is what missions is about. To reach the world for Him. Now, who's got somebody in their life besides me that's not saved? My niece brought her husband. He's not saved to hear me preach last Sunday night. "Brother, they prayed for you for years. I remember that. He's a testimony." I'm sitting there just thinking, the consequences of our choices and the consequences of sin. Let me finish this thought. Would you go to Revelations with me? Just back another book. Revelations, just for a moment. I want you to see this in Revelations chapter 20. You know, the consequences of choice. Because of the consequences, the Lord's commanded us to go into all the world. The Bible says in Revelations chapter 20, verse 12, "And I saw the dead and small stand. I saw the dead and small, the dead, small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Now watch this. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, my name is written in the book of life. August 15th, 1969. How many know what day you were saved? Well, I'm telling you, I met you 2 years later. I got saved. I got baptized. I didn't understand a whole lot about the Bible at that point before I met Pastor Pittman. But I knew one thing. I am going to heaven. It's in here. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, 11, 12, and 13 says, "I know that I know that I know." But if you're here today and don't know Christ as your personal Savior, You know, that's your choice. But there are consequences. Amen? It is so good to have your name written down in heaven. How does that work? You trust in Christ as your personal Savior. So number one, there's a command. Number two, there's a consequences. Number three, I want you to see this, there's compassion. Compassion should drive us. The Lord working with them. You know, the Lord wants our witness for Him to show others salvation. There's a real hell, there's a real world, there's a reality out there, and each one of us needs to reach one. When I got to Australia, my first Sunday there, as I'm going in with some donuts and some coffee for the seven people that came, an Aussie standing across the fence, and I'm an Australian citizen, so I'm not against Aussies, okay? I am one. I'm also American. I got those dual things, all right? What's the blessing of that? I never have to pay for visas going back and forth like you all do. Say, it's pretty good. Confuses the flight attendants, but as I walked out, going into that church, coming out of my car, a drunken man looked over the fence and said, "Hey, you blankety blank yank, when you going home?" Well, it won't be about 1 p.m., but I'm done preaching. And I went to go on, and he reached out and grabbed me, turned me around, and called me every name in the book. And I'm just looking at him in the back of my mind, inside my heart, you know how I wanted to react? Reach across and thump him a couple times, but I'm thinking, I'm so glad God called me here. Devil's fighting back, and I hadn't even said a word. I got home, told my wife what happened, and everything was fine. I didn't do anything to him. The next morning, the first day in our house, we had no furniture, and I get a knock on the front door in 5 minutes. It's my neighbor. He comes over. He's a sailor. He said, "Hey, who are you?" "My name's Dan DeLong. You got one of those voices from the States. Say your name again." "Dan DeLong." "Hey, listen to this guy. He's got one of those southern hillbilly accents." He said, "By the way, what do you do?" "I'm a preacher. Come here and start a church." "Oh, no. I just moved up from Sydney to get away from a preacher. I had a neighbor that was a preacher. And you're here." "Oh, no. I can't get away." I said, "God's after you, John." Now, look, watch me. I was ready, privileged to have him in my house a month later. He'd never said at a Christian Christmas with an American Christian, ever. On Valentine's Day, he got saved. A month later, his wife got saved. Then his boss got saved, and Sabrina got saved, and Jonathan got saved, and Chandra got saved, and Kylie got saved, and Maruhu got saved, and they're all in the Navy, the Australian Navy. They all lived in my neighborhood, and I got to see them all last week. They're still going to Coastline Baptist Church. I want to let you know something. Hey, them people all made choices because there was consequences of their sin. But I had a heart. I realized when God called me there, the devil's going to push back, but I realized God was at work, and I got a heart for those people. This is unbelievable. This is not part of the pastoral course here. But six of those families, for the 10 Friday nights in a row, instead of going drinking, they would come to our house. Now, I'm older, preacher. I go to bed about 10 o'clock. Them Aussie get wound up about midnight, like they're from Philadelphia or New York. 9 of those 10 weeks, my wife and I would get up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, and those couples are still in our house playing Uno. We'd start with devotions on Friday night, and I would, before they'd go to bed on Saturday morning, I'd make them sit through devotion. You say, "Crazy!" No, no, no. They understood. They made choices. And God had called me there to be a witness. I'm not bragging on me, but I want you to understand something. These people understood the consequences. Choices and sin will send you to hell. Choices and trusting Christ will send you to heaven. Number three, the compassion. And that's what I'm talking about. I got a compassion for those people. And God put that in my heart. You can't work it up. But if you just, every one of you people in here, have one person God will put on your heart, and you take the next 12 months to try to reach that person for Christ, I'm telling you what, it just spreads into all the world. It's unbelievable how God does this. My last thought is this morning. I want you to see, beside the compassion, the last thing is this, we have a companion. Look at Mark chapter 16. Go back to our text. I want you to see this. In Mark chapter 16, and Jesus is telling them to go to all the world in verse 15, preach the gospel to every creature. They're going to make choices. It's up to them. But verse 20 sticks out. The Lord working with them. The companion that we have. The companion that we have. My daughter loves me. And she loves dogs. And she loves cats. I'm not a cat person. Amen? I think I've preached this here before. Who's cat people in here? That's okay. Cats are uncontrollable. They have their own personalities. And I said, no cats and dogs. I travel too much. About a month ago, I get a scratch at the front door. I keep hearing something scratching. And my daughter said, Dad, somebody's at the door. So I went to the door, and there's this little cat hanging on the edge of the glass. Meow! Meow! As I was reaching that cat to throw it through the yard, as I reached around to get it, my daughter said, Daddy, look what God's brought to us. Yes, I see that. It's got mange, it's got worms, it's got lice. It's our neighbor's dog, a cat, they own it. You know, oh, Dad, let me take it to him. And she had that thing up in her arm before I could say no. Oh, Dad, I need a cat. No. She took it to the neighbor. She came back. Cat's never been in my house. Cat's never been there. I hate cats. The next night at the same time. Meow. You hear outside, meow. Don't this guy keep his cat at home? Guy's a millionaire. He's a doctor. Him and his wife both doctors. And that cat starts sleeping at my front door. And every time I open it, it comes in. I hate cats. I hate them. My daughter named it Jazzy. I hate cats. But my daughter likes cats. No cats. Guess who was at my front door and I went to the airport yesterday? Hanging on the window. It's scratching my window up. I open the door and a cat comes in, crawls up on the couch. Actually, I act like she owns the place. Now, let me tell you, the only reason I keep that cat is because of my daughter. Okay? I mean, it's time to go home. I send it home. If I did not have a daughter, that cat would have been off my porch and never come back. Guaranteed. I'm just letting you know that. But because I love my daughter, I treat that cat as best I can. It's my love for my daughter. And my wife said, honey, let's get a cat. You know well as I do, man, I'd have a cat tomorrow. My daughter went to the pet shop yesterday with some friends and sent me pictures of cats that need owners. I sent back, no, 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 and thumbs down. Preacher was with me, picked me up yesterday, but I was sending those, taking pictures of the D.C. area, but sending all these, I was in a group text message, said, no cats, never, ever, ever. And kids in Las Vegas was getting it. My point is this. If the Lord Jesus Christ is in you, and he is our companion, as the Lord, as the Bible says, shouldn't he guide us? Shouldn't he touch our hearts if we love him? Shouldn't we stop and do what he puts in our hearts to do? He has drove this bus. He has sailed this boat. He has directed this thing from the get-go. And when the Lord went to sit down at the right hand, watch this, and he ascended to heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. You look at Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and the Lord working with them. Open that door to New Guinea. Open that door to Pastor Pittman. Open that door to Missionary Godfrey. Open that door to the church. Open that. Open that. Because the Lord is working with them. Can I give you one shot, one thought of this? Acts chapter 16. If you'll look there and then we'll close. I want you to see this with me. I want you to understand how God works. This is so fantastic. Paul's trying to reached the world for Christ. His heart was on fire. Man, he wanted to go and preach the gospel. The Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 16, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing to Mysia, came down to Troas. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Help us. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us, the Lord working with them. Going this way, Holy Spirit said, I'm going to go that way. And they turned immediately. Assuredly gathering. Can I encourage you this morning that every one of us have as a companion in us, and it's the Holy Spirit. Our companion guides us. He drives us. He puts us where he wants us, whether it's in Herndon, Virginia, or Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, or Cairns, Australia. He puts us there. He wants to use us. He's guiding this thing. He's driving the bus. He's sailing the boat. My friend, will you let that companion inside of you touch your heart to make a difference in this world? Why the world? We've got a command. Why the world? There's consequences. Why the world? He puts a compassion in us. We are his children. Though he and I understand, and you and him understand, if you know him as your personal Savior. And you know, folks, he's our companion. He's always with us. As I said first hour, L-O-R-D, and the Lord with them, working with them. They listened to the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. They responded to the Lord. And they did what the Lord put in their hearts to do. As you close your Bibles, I've used this illustration here before. I just came back from Australia. We had about 100 in our little church there. God's blessed the thing. In 2010, we had a cyclone hurricane called Jazzy come through and tear up the Cairns area. And we were locked down in a gym like your gym to survive that storm. My wife and I, our neighbors, and it held 400 people. Plywood's over the windows. Doors were plywood locked. Police standing with submachine guns. You just lay in your place and we're going to feed you. And in that hurried process to lock us all down, the head of the Red Cross forgot cups and plates. I was a mile away in my house, had my little dog taped, duct taped to the top inside a cage on top of our refrigerator. And the storm was supposed to put 4 foot of water in our house. We could take no animals with you. By the way, the dog survived the storm. But I heard the director talking, and I said, listen, I do have 2,000 plates and 2,000 cups in my house. If you'll give me a police escort, no, we'll take you in the squad car. We'll go through the storm, come back. My first shot, my first opportunity to witness in that room, locked down, I'd forgotten my Bible, tracts, or any church contact paper. I was in a hurry. I brought my credit card, I brought my wallet, brought my passports. But God had me in a lockdown situation in a room about three times this size to give people the gospel. And I went back and got them and said, if you'll let me invite everybody to my church, not publicly, but give everybody a piece of paper, you got the cups and you got the plates. He said, trade off. I went back and I got all the plates and cups and give everybody tracts. And my wife, my daughter and I, we were locked down like for 14 hours. We got stuff to everybody. They thanked us for the plates. They thanked us for the cups. And we got to eat first. Amen. The next Sunday, not one person came. In about a month, a family did come. They got saved. You've heard the story. Last month, there was a family there from New Guinea I had never met. And I invited, my name is Dan DeLong. Started, yeah, we know you. We were locked up with you 6 years ago in a storm on the other side of Smithfield, Queensland, Australia. And we got our visas. Now we've moved to Australia, educating our kids here. We definitely, this is the only church we knew about. And the Lord working with them. PNG Bible Project, you're involved. The Lord working with them. Each one of us, or each one, you'll be surprised how this works. Why the world? For God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's why the world. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Say, Pastor Dan or Brother DeLong, Pastor Pittman, I do not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I need to know him today. Would you pray for me that I would ask Jesus in my heart? I'm not going to ask anybody to look up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to give this invitation to the preacher. But if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, could you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to get Jesus in my heart. Anyone at all, we're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray for you. Second question, how many of you folks in here know someone as a Christian? You know someone in your family, in your workplace, in your world that you know they are not saved. And God brought their name to your heart and your thought process today. Who can say they need Jesus? Could you raise your hand with me as a testimony? Thank you, Pastor Pippen.
We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to sing. Maybe that person that the Holy Spirit put on your heart, you could come and just say, Lord, I want to begin to pray for that person. I want to take this year, and I want to try to pray them to Christ. I'll do whatever I can, but I want to love them, care about them, help them. You know, we're not here by accident. The Lord loves everyone in this room and every set of eyes that you see this week. God loves them. And he sent his only Son to pay their debt of sin as well as mine and yours. We cannot be a proud people because none of us deserve heaven. But we can be a thankful people. You know the little story of the song that Scott sang of the 18 people that were saved by that gentleman that for the rest of his life lived in a wheelchair. Not one of the 18 came back and said thank you. Let's not let that be us. Let's say, Lord, you've done so much for me. I want to love others too. I want to pray for people. I want to care about people. This Sunday is just a reminder that we have been blessed and privileged, and we ought to want to reach the world. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. In your name we pray.